Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And Scott Hansen calling in right now. As he does that, we get to our play-by-play call of the day. Yoenis Cespedes with a walk-off homer for the Mets, and Gary Cohen with the call on SNY.
He tries one. Deep left center. Toward the wall. That is out of here. Cespedes wins it with a home run.
Gary Cohen with the call on SNY as the Mets get a big walk-off win last night over the Miami Marlins. Two teams in the thick of the wild card race along with the Pirates. And, of course, the Pirates were behind, took the lead, then lost an extra innings to the Cubs last night. I had a long talk yesterday with the president of the Pirates, Frank Coonley, about the club and the roller coaster he's been on with them as this season has gone on. Great West Coast road trip, go 1-5 at home, then sweep Milwaukee. Now last night's game with the Cubs. So believe me, if you've been on a roller coaster as a Pirates fan, he has felt your pain as the president of the club based on what we talked about yesterday. Well, on Sundays, and you're going to get a real good feel for it on Thursday night, but on Sundays, many people who love the NFL can't get enough of seeing a little bit of every game and get a feel for every game, or love it because of the fantasy football aspect of it. Tune into NFL Red Zone. And the first time I think I see him make an on-air mistake will be the first time I think he's ever made an on-air mistake, and that is Scott Hansen, who is the outstanding host of NFL Red Zone on NFL Network. First time he has been with us. Scott, thank you very much for carving out your valuable time. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, great to be with you as well. Although you're hyping me up too much, I am very, very flawed, just as much as the next man when it comes to making mistakes. Although I try to over-prepare every Sunday to try and serve the fans as best I can. But thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate it.
Oh, believe me, we try to do the same thing we're doing the Penn State broadcast. We over-prepare for every eventuality, so you're doing the same thing.
Yep.
Let's get to what does it take? Now, you've been with NFL Network for years, and then, of course, it evolved into the Red Zone job. So what does it take for you on a daily basis to make sure you're up to date on everything? Because there are moments where you have to fill in the play-by-play as the time goes.
Yeah, it's like a lot of jobs where the majority of the work is done behind the scenes. A speech writer writes a State of the Union address for the president. That address goes on, what, a half hour, 45 minutes. They spent days, probably weeks, crafting the language of that. A professor goes in and gives a lecture for an hour. If he or she is very diligent, they're spending days preparing that amount of time. If you watch NFL Red Zone, we go 7 hours every Sunday, no commercials, every touchdown from every game. But in that 7 hours, that's just the top of the iceberg sticking out of the water there. I've done days and days of research leading up to that to try and be prepared for every fact, every storyline, every player and substitution and injury update and everything else, so the fans can have the most enjoyable experience that they can. I start grinding. I come home after my broadcast. I watch Sunday Night Football. I'm taking notes about what happens there because we'll have those two teams on the next week. Monday Night Football the same way. Tuesday, I give myself a little bit of a break. That's the players' day off. And then Wednesday, I'm compiling statistics and seeing what guys said in locker rooms and whatnot, leading all the way up back up to Sunday.
You've got a lot of stimuli around you. And you also have, obviously, a producer that is also guiding as well. How long did it take for you to really get a feel in your own formula as to how to handle the stimuli around you as to where to go next and why?
Well, I think I have to thank my parents for just the proper amount of ADD with which their DNA imparted on me. Because I'm able to bounce around. My attention span doesn't go long enough to stay with a game, you know, for two or three drives in a row. I'm pretty scatterbrained as it is, and I love to get fresh information every single place. Kind of a funny story. You mentioned that I've been with NFL Network for over a decade. Well, Red Zone's existed, whether it's our seventh or eighth year. So I used to be a roving reporter. So, for instance, they would send me to, you know, wherever, Gillette Stadium to cover a Patriots game. But while I was sitting there watching that game live from the press box, I'd have my laptop open, and I'd be the guy on press row who was elbowing the reporters next to me saying, hey, did you just see it, Lambeau? Aaron Rodgers just threw another touchdown. Hey, Adrian Peterson is going off. He's got 120 yards in the first half in Minnesota. Yeah. Hey, do you want to know the Cowboys are doing this? I've always wanted to know everything that was going on, and so this hosting role is the perfect vehicle for me.
Okay, the people around you, between camera people, research people, producer, a director, discuss, Scott, the team aspect of this that pulls off seven consecutive hours of commercial-free television.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm the person people get to see. I'm the person, you know, people stop and say, hey, Red Zone, love it and stuff. And I'm the person who gets to do these radio interviews and things. But we have a staff of about, give or take, 30 individuals who are pouring their heart and soul into the show, just like I am, to make it the one-stop shopping in the NFL. I have two producers who both do just an amazing amazing job. We have Brian Nettles does the early session, and Ryan Yunt does the late session. My director, J.D. Hansen, is a long-time television professional. He's done everything there is to do, NASCAR and Olympics and football, baseball, basketball, hockey. He's done every type of sport there is. And then a bunch of people who are huge NFL fans that have given roles, researcher and spotter and people that just keep the show together. I have, if you count, like, let's say 9 or 10 games going on at 1 o'clock Eastern time, plus my researcher and spotter, plus my producer in my ear who has maybe a dozen voices in his ear, I've got about 20 different sources of stimulus coming at me. And hopefully, when you sit and watch at home, it seems like it's controlled chaos. I mean, it's not like the slickest television production ever because, you know, we'll catch a 2 seconds of a commercial break, or we'll catch them going to a timeout or something like that. But that's okay because I think it gives people the feeling that they're peeking behind the curtain at the Wizard of Oz as to how it's all really going on. It makes it feel organic, and it lets people know that they're seeing something that they can't see anywhere else, hopefully.
And that's very true. And I know when I talk about my experience, you know, they say, what's it like working with Jack Ham on Penn State football or Dick Girardi on Penn State basketball? I say, you want to work with people who make you better. What has it been like for you at this stage of your career to work with people who have that fan feel like you do, but also have the professional dedication you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we don't we would all be watching this show if we weren't working on it. And
right.
So that's a heck of a responsibility to know that there are people like yourself. You're a professional. You're in the industry. Now, you're also a big football fan, but you're a professional. The people at ESPN hit me up all the time and say, hey, I've got 2 days off. I'm off on Sundays and Mondays. I'm watching you, Scott. That's a heck of a responsibility for all of us in the crew, and we all want to lift each other up. We start our production meeting each and every Sunday morning by saying, guys, here's our mission. No one should talk about anything on Monday in their accounting firm, doctor's office, school, wherever they find themselves on Monday morning. No one should be talking about anything in pro football on Monday that they didn't see live or seconds after it happened on NFL Red Zone. That's our mission. And, I mean, it obviously, 50-yard touchdown, that's a no-brainer. Everybody knows you want to see that. But what about the subtle little things where, you know, a position change for somebody happened, or that the tight end had to play tackle because they had too many injuries on the offensive line, or someone was in is best friends with someone else, and they play on opposite teams on opposite sides of the football, and that guy intercepted that guy, and he was in his wedding last year. You know, all those type of fun storylines is what we always search for and develop, and my crew lifts me up all the time with little tidbits because they each have their own favorite teams in which they specialize, and they'll tell me, hey, something to look for in the Texans game, something to look for in the Steelers game, something to look for in the Falcons game. And hopefully it turns out to be the broadcast that people say it is, which is a life-changing or at least a football viewing-changing broadcast.
Now, at the same time, the energy part of it, you have to get in early and get rolling in the thing. You're not a coffee drinker, so where does this come from, the energy, that natural on-air to keep going on a seven-hour basis straight without taking a commercial break?
Well, you know, I'm a low-energy guy in my regular life. No, I'm actually not. I'm pretty tightly wound. But you're right. You did your research. I've had one cup of coffee in my entire life, and I hated it. So I am not a caffeine craver. The biological requirements of the show aren't really conducive for me drinking a bunch of Diet Cokes or iced teas or whatever else anyway. But you know where I get it from? I got to thank my dad. My dad, Dick Hansen, gave me my passion for sports, my passion for life. You know, whatever you find your hands to do, do it with all you've got. And try and be the best you can be at it. That's what my dad instilled in me. And I'll tell you what, that first sprinkle of shower water hits me at 5 a.m. on Sunday morning, and I'm ready to go. Boom, I am ready to go. Because I know so many people love the broadcast. And, Steve, we should all have some vehicle in our careers as broadcasters that has a touchstone with our fans to their emotions, to their passions, and that they spend whatever amount of time they have off from their busy lives and busy jobs and whatnot. If they spend it with us, we should be able to give them the best that we have, and that they would have an emotional and positive reaction to what we do is absolutely gratifying, and that fuels me more than 10 pots of coffee would give me.
Right. And when I talk to my class next week, my broadcast class, that exact quote's going to be used, because that is the essence of what we try to do. You also are somebody that when you do have some free time, you want to give back. Two years ago, for example, you went to Russia with Orphan Outreach. What is that passion to give back, the responsibility you feel back, and the driving force behind doing something as an example like that?
Well, let me just tell you, I am an extremely blessed man on a number of fronts. One, that I feel I live in the greatest country in the world. Two, that I've been able to pursue a career by the freedoms that our country provides us. I was able to pursue a career that had so much of my heart and passion ever since I've been a little boy watching football. Three, that I've been able to have some success in this industry. Four, that I work for people at the NFL who care about society. I know that there's jaded people who say this and that about the hierarchy in the NFL. Let me just tell you firsthand, and you can choose to believe me or not, the people in the NFL care not only about their fans and not only about pro football and not only about the bottom line, it is a business, but they care about society, and they realize the impact that pro football has in our society. So they facilitated and allowed me to do some things away from television, away from the sport, that really keeps my heart beating. I'm a Christian, and part of my Christian faith, living it out, is helping and serving other people. So each and every year, I try and pick usually a different country and go and serve. 2 years ago, it was Russia with Orphan Outreach. Last year, I went down to Haiti with a guy named David Nelson, who used to be a wide receiver in the NFL. He was an All-American at Florida when they won the national championships down there with Tim Tebow. Him and his brother run an orphanage down in Haiti, was able to visit and serve them. This past summer, just about a month and a half ago, I went down to Mexico and helped out in an orphanage down there. And so for me to be able to live out my faith and give back that way is one of the reasons why I love and appreciate my platform as a sportscaster so much, that it gives me the time and the resources to be able to pick up and go and help others where there are needs.
You have used it very well, and we applaud you for that. Scott, one final question, then I will let you go. The preseason, for example, Thursday night's coming up. Everybody's playing on Thursday. Now that the cutdown has happened to 75, and then the next cutdown will happen after this week. What's the preseason been like for everybody just to get back in the groove and get you back into that regular season feeling?
Yeah, I think for NFL Red Zone, we kind of consider ourselves maybe more like a veteran NFL player. We'd be like at one preseason show and we'd be ready to go, right? You know,
right.
Showing football, like we see a few touchdowns and we're like, okay, let's get to the real touchdowns now. Let's get to where Tom Brady's got a drive in the fourth quarter to win a game. Let's get to where Ben Roethlisberger's in a shootout with Joe Flacco and it's 35-31 late in the fourth quarter and you don't know who's going to win. So broadcasting wise, we're pretty much over it. Now we have another broadcast on Thursday. I think you mentioned that. Thursday, 30 of the 32 NFL teams will be playing on Thursday, so it's going to be a little wild and woolly. However, I'm guessing your show, you may have just relayed the Teddy Bridgewater news. Has your audience heard that yet?
Yeah, you can relate that. Go ahead.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater, obviously the starting quarterback for the Vikings, suffered what appears to be a serious injury during practice within the last hour. Hour and a half.
Right.
Suffered. We don't know. We don't know the nature of it or the extent of it. But they had to bring an ambulance out to take him off. And players, his teammates, were slamming their helmets down in frustration. And that's the type of thing that everybody has nightmares about in the preseason, whether it's a preseason game or a training camp or preseason practice. You never want to have something like that happen to anyone, let alone a star player, let alone a franchise-type quarterback. So everyone's ready to get past it. We don't expect to see the starting quarterbacks in for more than a few plays, if at all, on Thursday.
And just to relate it for everybody, Teddy Bridgewater was a non-contact drill, and it happened, and
yes.
Mike Zimmer called off the final 25 minutes of practice because of the emotion.
Yep, so. And you know, stay with, I'm sure you guys will update your audience. For those who are listening to me right now, check out NFL Network, NFL.com. We'll have updates as soon as we know it. We've got people on the scene there, and Zimmer's going to be doing a news conference, I believe, pretty soon to tell us more, but it sounds like it's just a heartbreaking situation.
This was a privilege for us and enjoyed it very much, Scott. I hope at some time down the road we cross paths again and do this because I think the audience loved it. Thanks so much for everything and all the great work you do away from the field and also all the great work you do on the air.
Well, Steve, I appreciate it. Thanks to Sean there, your producer, your engineer. Let me just say this. I grew up in Michigan. I have a high school buddy who is a huge Penn State fan, and he grew up in Wolverine and Spartan country, so he's put up with our junk all the time. I texted him to tell him I was going to be on your radio show, and he feels like I have finally arrived in my broadcasting career. So to all the great Nittany Lions out there, thank you for listening and for having me on and for making Brian Gagnon, my high school, Penn State high school friend, think that I'm a big deal now. I appreciate it.
See, now we know he has some class in your life, too. That's good.
Nice. Hey, you
thanks,
guys enjoy
Scott.
The season, and we'll see you. We'll see you September 11th for the first regular season Red Zone broadcast.
And good luck all season to you, my man. Great job.
Thanks, bud. Thank you.
He is something else, isn't he? Boy, I tell you, that is... In the world of TV, he says, "Why are you built me up too much?" No, I really didn't. There, you know what? This guy is, you watch him, if you're in my business, and you appreciate what he's doing. I mean, he's doing it at a much higher level, obviously, than I'm doing it at. You appreciate the fact that this guy is on the air 7 hours straight, and I'm telling you, he knows every story, every player, each team. There are moments he has to take over the play-by-play. He does it smooth and easy. Transition. This is not a scripted show. My goodness. He really is an amazing on-air broadcast talent. And that I think he, you know, the games carry it, but if he wasn't as good as he was, I'm telling you, he's a big reason why people watch Red Zone, because he's just so seamless at it. Seamless. Really great talent. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Check out the podcast, Steve Jones Show. And if you want to catch up with the interview with Jack Ham yesterday, we'll have that for you. And Scott Hansen today. Otto Bolton is tomorrow. You know, Scott, Sean, you and I have to sit down here at some point. We got to get a better list of people for the audience.
We'll take some inventory. Have a little power lunch, and we'll get it done.
All right, we're gonna have to, because what you're doing is really disappointing. I got you, Jack Ham. Okay, I got you, Scott Hansen from NFL Red Zone. Okay, I got Otto Bolden from NBC Track and Field. Okay, we got the Kent State play-by-play guy on for the game. Okay, you and I need to talk, man.
I'm just trying to fight my way through the probation period.
You didn't realize you were on double secret probation,
whoa,
did you?
Whoa! I didn't get that text.
Well, it's okay. When you started the job, the suit made sure courts were missing for you too.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Scott Hansen from NFL Red Zone for joining us today. Joe Susan, head football coach at Bucknell. Tomorrow, Otto Bolden from NBC Sports will be on. We also are going to have Matt Leon from Philadelphia on. And let's see, what else we got this week? The play-by-play guy from Kent State is going to be out. He's one of the nicest guys out there. Known him for years. And in fact, you know, the last time I talked to him? Last time I talked to him was in Vegas. Remember, Penn State played Kent State. This guy is one. And Kent State has to play not only Penn State, they got to go to Alabama to open the season. I said, that's a pretty good double-double for you guys. He goes, oh, yeah. He says, he's really excited about the Tuscaloosa thing. And I've told him he's going to love it going down there. It's going to be great. I don't know how great the game will be, but
the atmosphere. You're right. The experience and the atmosphere.
Oh. Well, that stadium's dramatically changed. As you know, I broadcast in that stadium in the 80s, early 90s, and then, of course, I did it again 6 years ago. Well, the difference between what I saw in 20 years from 1990, the last time I was in there, because I'd been in there in 86. See, I was in there in, I'm trying to think, in Bryant-Denny Stadium, I've been there in 84, 86, 90, and then the last time I did a game there was 2010. That was a 70,000-seat stadium back in the 80s, early 90s. They had hedges that separated the stands from the players. And it's pretty basic, right? But still, it was on campus. And I'd rather see games on campus anyway. I think it's one of the big problems that some schools have, like San Diego State, Pitt, Tulane, Miami, not having games on campus, I think, is a problem. I think it's... that does not help you in recruiting. You can sit there, hey, we play where the Steelers do. You're like, okay. And then so the campus is here, and you're over. Okay, I'm not seeing it.
So you brought up off-campus stadium. Talk about the University of Minnesota, and now that they have the stadium on their campus, right by the gym.
You know what? The week of the Temple game is going to be done by Big Ten Network and Glenn Mason. And Mace is one of the great guys out there. He has become a real friend. And I really like him a lot. And he loves coming here to Penn State. He's the guy that fought his guts out to get Minnesota its own stadium. And the irony is he never coached the game in it. Now they're sharing the Metrodome. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, you can sit there and you can put in all the painted end zones that you want to make it look like it's your place, but you still know you're in the Vikings stadium. Still know it's where the Vikings play. There's 37,000 people there as opposed to 65,000. Of course, now they have that fabulous dome. Speaking of the Vikings, Teddy Bridgewater, here's the situation there. Mike Zimmer's going to have a press conference at 5 o'clock about this. It was a non-contact play. The injury was to his left leg. They had to put an inflatable cast on him. He was on the field for a long, long time. Players were throwing helmets to the ground. The final 25 minutes of practice was canceled. It was a very emotional situation today at the Vikings camp. And we'll find out what the initial indication is on Teddy Bridgewater. But he was non-contact, tremendous pain, inflatable cast on the left leg, was on the field for a long time. Reporters were ushered out of practice. Players were distraught, throwing helmets to the ground. And the final 25 minutes was canceled, press conference at 5. That's all we know about the Teddy Bridgewater situation, which is huge. Sports bozo of the day. I think this man is a very good commentator. This is certainly not personal. But former NFL player, current NBC analyst Rodney Harrison has apologized on Twitter after criticizing Colin Kaepernick and his refusal to stand for the national anthem while suggesting that the Niners quarterback is not black and doesn't truly understand racism. He did the interview with iHeartRadio. And he had to apologize for that because he is... Kaepernick has a black father and a white mother. He was adopted and raised by white parents. Now, he's been outspoken in his Twitter account on civil rights issues and his support of Black Lives Matter movement and so forth. And Harrison had to tweet. He says, you know, I never intended to offend anyone. I'm trying to speak about my experience as an African-American, which he did. He says, I apologize to anyone that I offended. Wasn't meant to be hurtful to anyone. God bless. Last point, I want people to know, I never even knew he was mixed. I should not have called Colin Kaepernick's race into question during this morning's radio interview. It was a mistake, and I apologize. Well, you know what? Yeah, that makes the cut. Two things. Obviously, you want to be better prepared going in. But number two, when you make a mistake, you man up, you apologize, and you move on. He manned up. You didn't get stubborn about it. You manned up and said, look, I made a mistake. Didn't realize. Move on. Doesn't mean in the entertainment part of the show he can't make the cut, but he did. Okay. You notice I didn't bring up the Kaepernick thing with Scott Hansen? Again, now my brother's going to be with us on Friday. As you know.
Yeah, we're going to line up some picks.
Oh, I already gave him the list of games. Well, we're all good. I think I gave him 8 games. All right. And when we were talking today, now, both my parents, as you know, have passed away. My father was a corporal. When I was talking about the national anthem earlier, I said, look, my father was a corporal in the Marines. He served during the Korean conflict. Okay. My mother was very patriotic, and that's, you know, we were brought up in that kind of house. So when the national anthem is played, we put our hands over our hearts, and we look at the flag. I would sing along, but the way I sing would be disrespectful. So you're like, oh, really, don't sing. But that's the way we were brought up, and that's what we do. And I said to my brother, I said, if Dad saw this thing, I said, Dad would have blown a gasket. And my father's a very quiet man, but he'd have blown a gasket about this. But on the other hand, I've got a little different feeling for it. I'm at the point now in my life where, look, that's what I do. Now, say, for example, Sean wants to sit or Sean wants to just put his hands behind his back or whatever. I don't care. That's Sean's choice as to what he wants to do. My choice is to do that. Excuse me. That's my choice. If somebody else doesn't want to, they want to sit down, you know what? It doesn't bother me at all. But I know what my standard is as to what I think is right, so that's what I think is right. I'm not going to sit there and look at you and impose my standard on you. No. It's up to me to impose my standard on me. Now, the next part, as I pointed out earlier. Okay, so let's talk about his protest. He did not sit for the first two preseason games, but nobody noticed. You know why? He wasn't in uniform. He didn't play the first two preseason games. The only reason people noticed this time is because he was in uniform. Okay. So number one, because of the greatness of this country, does he have the right to do what he did? Check mark, yes. Could he do this in Cuba? For all of you who have said, there's so many people like, oh, Cuba, they praise Cuba. Oh, you got to open up to Cuba. Okay, do you think he could do that in Cuba? Do you really? Do you think during a Raul Castro speech, where everyone's required to stand, that he could sit down, walk out, leave? Do you think he could? During the Cuban national anthem, do you think he could sit down? Don't kid yourself. Okay? Don't embarrass yourself by saying he could, because he couldn't. All right? That's one of the many elements that make this country great. He has that right to do what he did. Okay? So check mark. Did he bring attention to a cause he wanted to bring attention to? Yes. Check mark. Did he stand in front of everybody and articulate his views in a press conference? Check mark, yes. Right? Now, I'm not saying you have to agree with anything he says, but does he have the right to do it? Yes, 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 and yes. And did he draw attention to it? Yes. Did he stimulate discussion in this country? Yes. Now, some people have said, hey, you know, it's great what he did. There are some people who have called him an idiot, whatever. Okay. But you've expressed your opinions about it. And he's at least brought something to the table. I mean, you know, and there's been foolishness on both sides about this. I mean, there are two hosts on ESPN yesterday talking about comparing him to Muhammad Ali. What? No. Something else I don't think is true. I do not believe the assertion that Colin Kaepernick did this to save his job in the NFL. My gut feeling is that is not accurate. He's sincere, and this is how he feels. Okay. But there is an additional responsibility to this, where the old saying, you got to put your money where your mouth is. It is one thing to silently protest, a peaceful protest. I mean, it's a peaceful protest. And you draw attention to something. But the question is going to be, when you earn the salary that he earns, because he has signed that long-term contract, okay, what are you doing with your money to back up your protest? Now, he may be doing a long laundry list of things, I don't know, but it's a question that needs to be asked. What money have you put back into the African-American community in your attempt to make lives better? What have you done? I don't know what the answer is to that, because the question wasn't asked. Right now, the story is about Rodney Harrison apologizing. you know, in the end, kind of an irrelevant story. But again, you know, we're in a 24/7 ADD news cycle. And so for the moment, that takes the focus, and then there'll be another focus a little bit later. But this is an athlete. And I've mentioned several, you know, everyone knows what his background is. We've just talked about it. Okay? But there's something else, though. I mean, Kaepernick is also someone of great wealth because of his football playing ability. And he's a great athlete. I mean, he was drafted by the Chicago Cubs, for goodness sakes, in the 43rd round. So he's a great athlete. But he has a huge contract. And he signed a 6-year extension with the 49ers back in 2014 that's worth up to $126 million. He has $54 million in potential guarantees, and it's absolute that $13 million is guaranteed. $13 million is guaranteed. So he is someone of wealth and the potential for even greater wealth. What are you doing with it? Are you putting it back into the community? As for the police, he is criticized. Now, this is a long, now his press conference was a long press conference. I mean, he took a direct shot at Donald Trump, and he also took a direct shot at Hillary Clinton. I mean, later in the press conference, people haven't talked about that. He talked about some of Donald Trump's comments on the campaign trail, and he talked about her unsecured server in the Clinton Foundation as well, and how he felt about it. But the primary piece was about minorities and the police. All right. Whatever has happened to him in the course of his lifetime, and whatever has happened in the course of his lifetime, I'm sure there's a long list of problems he has gone through in terms of perception. I don't care whether it's going into a grocery store or just walking down the street. That's wrong. Okay. And I know that people, for example, you take all sorts of, you draw all sorts of conclusions. You see all the tattoos on Colin Kaepernick. You do know he was a 4.0 student in high school, right? So don't sit there, and that's always been a problem in this society. Everybody looks at the cover and not at the book. But at the same time, to be fair, and by the way, he has a bachelor's degree in business management. Okay. Now, the other part, too, is that the American society that he has grown up in, despite whatever problems he discussed and problems that should always be addressed and we should always be mindful of, Colin Kaepernick still was able to graduate from high school with a 4.0 GPA, go to Nevada, Reno, was allowed to achieve as the starting quarterback in Nevada, Reno, was allowed to graduate early from Nevada, Reno with a degree in business management. He was still able to be a second-round pick by the San Francisco 49ers. He was also a 43rd-round pick by the Chicago Cubs. Win the starting quarterback job at midseason over Alex Smith, be the starting quarterback in the Super Bowl, and get a $126 million contract, of which there are guarantees that can total up to $54 million and absolute guarantees of $13. So the American culture and society has not held him back from being able to use his great talents to achieve tremendous wealth. So now the question is, what do you do with that wealth? Do you sit in peaceful protest, which is fine to draw awareness, but have you taken the additional steps to then take some of that wealth and back up your protest by investing in the cause you're talking about? As for the police, they're a cross-section of any society. A radio station's a cross-section of a society. A football team happens to be. IBM happens to be. Police forces happen to be. You're going to have great people, smart people, awesome people, caring people, loving people, lazy people. And you're also going to, along the line, in any organization, have one or two bad apples. It's just a cross-section of society. That's the way it is in almost anything that you do. And the police are not immune to that. The difference is that a mistake by a police officer or a bad apple in the police force can have fatal consequences. The vast majority of police officers, female, male, the vast majority are awesome people. Awesome people. Dedicated professionals. They do not go through a checklist when it comes time for you to be saved. They don't sit there and go, okay, what's their ethnicity? What's their religion? What they're like, all right, but call comes in, they're diving in. They don't ask you ahead of time. They just go in and they do their job. Also, it is tough being a police officer because now something innocent, you pull somebody over, just let's take them as innocuous a situation as possible. A taillight is out. Police officer just wants to warn you, hey, look, get your taillight fixed. Here's a warning, okay? Just want to put on record there's a warning. Get it fixed, okay? That's all they want to do. You know, for your safety, everybody else's safety. Simple. But even for something like a blown-out taillight, when they get out of that car, shut that door, with each step they take toward your door or the door that they're going to, they don't know what they're about to deal with. Or who they're going to deal with. Or when they go to any door and knock on it, who they're going to deal with. What they're going to be dealing with. There's no security as to how you can guess how it's going to be. So there has to be that dialogue on both sides that make things better. So there's a realization about how minorities feel, but a realization on the part of minorities of what it's like to be a police officer as well. There has to be that understanding where it's not all directed in one direction. We're the oppressed, you know, they're wrong, they're bad. No, there has to be dialogue on both sides where there's an understanding by the police that the vast majority of people they're dealing with are good people. And there has to be a realization by the group of people that the police they're dealing with, the vast majority of them are good people too. That's the understanding that needs to come from both sides, that maybe they can work together so that each one on each side can get rid of the bad apples that have ruined it along the way. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So again, do not judge the book by its cover ever. Find out a little bit more about something. All right, you may not agree with Colin Kaepernick at all, but do not look at him as somebody that he's just, you know, he's not smart. I can tell. I see the tattoos. No. 4.0 in high school, business degree from Nevada, Reno. And, of course, we talk about the world-famous Wunderlich test. He scored 37 on it. You may not agree with his views or what he's doing at all, but this is far from an unintelligent person. Again, I don't care what he wants to do. I know what my standard is as to what I do, so I stick to what my standard is. Again, are you going to do something with your money to back up your protest? Now, for all we know, he has. I just don't know the answer to that. I think that's an important component in this. You can sit all you want during the national anthem, But if you're only sitting during the national anthem and actually not doing something yourself about it when you have the wealth to do it, I have an issue with that.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.